Hey everybody, this is Alyssa and this is Crafted For You. I'm here with Jeff, our host as always.
How's it going?
As well as
Amanda Richardson at Full Steam Brewery.
And Anita Riley from Mystery Brewing and Brewing Up a Storm.
This is a really fun and awesome episode because, except for Jeff, this is a ladies' table today. This episode is going to be about women and brewing and awesomeness because those things are directly correlated and don't think otherwise.
No, I completely agree. I've been excited for this episode for the past couple of weeks. We've been brainstorming, trying to get certain people, and we are missing one person today, which sucks, and I hope she feels better.
Yeah.
But this is going to be awesome. I'm super excited for this.
Yeah. It's actually a really small world how everybody got together because a couple months back now at this point, we did a homebrew episode with our good friend Rob, who goes to the RCC program. Two episodes back, we had
Todd Isbell
on, who's a professor there, and they both spoke very highly of you, Anita, and they got very excited that you were going to be on.
All lies.
good. Put their hopes up. That's great. No, actually, Rob was the one to kind of get us in contact, and he found an article of yours, right, in a magazine when he was out in Asheville?
Yeah, so I've got a monthly column in WNC Woman Magazine, which is Brewing Up a Storm, and the article that he found was actually like this road trip sort of around the Triangle where I interviewed several of the women in beer, not all of them that are here in the Triangle, but Amanda was definitely one of those, and so it's really cool that he found that article because he was like, women in beer? I wonder if they mention Anita. Oh, look, she wrote it. So it was kind
better.
Of right. It was kind of funny how all that happened. That you know, I just moved down here from Asheville, and you know, kind of finding my way in this new area for me, and then the area is also finding me in that way.
That's
so
awesome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for finding me.
Are you originally from Asheville?
I'm originally from Western North Carolina, like right outside of Asheville. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is that kind of how you got into brewing? Since Asheville is such a big beer city.
It did kind of draw me in. Actually, the kind of gusto for all of it was finding a way that I could give back to my community. And I saw this renaissance that Asheville had. I mean, when I was growing up there, it was like 80% boarded up. And it was like, you know, run down and abandoned. And city council did a lot of really smart things with tourism, but when the breweries came in, that really kind of sealed the deal and brought in not just people that want to see the Biltmore Estate and not just people that want to go to art galleries and not just people that want to go outdoors, but people that like beer, and that's like everybody.
Yeah.
So I really saw like how these breweries were like reviving this city that I love so much and was so important and foundational in my life, and I was like, yeah, I want to be part of that.
That's awesome. Nice. I can't imagine Asheville anything other than what it is right now.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's
just
great.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, that's all I need to know.
Just beer.
I went to visit it for the first time last January.
Yeah.
I'm new to North Carolina within the last, like, year and a half or
Welcome.
So. Thank you. It's lovely. Everyone is so nice here. Way nicer than what we call the craft beer desert that is New Jersey. That's kind of what where we refer my homeland to. But yeah, everyone, every time we mention we're going to Asheville, oh, I'm jealous. I want to go. Oh, I'm jealous. So I can't imagine it being that run down and sad. I'm so glad
it is
beer that restored it.
Yeah. Oh, it makes my heart pitter-patter just to see it like alive and well and doing so well.
And there's always something new going on. Like the last time they were constructing new apartments and
yeah, and they have to make way because so many people want to go there.
Right?
There's always something going on. It's awesome.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much before we talk a little bit about Amanda because Anita, you were the one who actually got us in contact. So a nice little circle of how we all got together. How did you two meet?
We met through that article. She reached out to the owner of Full Steam, and he forwarded on to me as one of the women who works at Full Steam. And Anita came by, and we had a lot of fun drinking beer and talking. And then
that's what we do, right?
Yeah. We're doing it right now.
Yeah, that's the
evidence shows this is all we do. But, yeah. So, yeah, and then I did the collaboration brew for International Women's Collaboration Brew Day.
Such a mouthful.
I know.
It's a long acronym.
It is.
They didn't give it like a cute little nickname.
IWCDB or
something.
That's
not any easier to say.
See, I already messed it up.
Yeah.
We don't know. And so it was really, I hadn't been to Mystery's facility before, so I got to see where they were working and help Anita out and add hops in an easier fashion than I'm able to do on our system. I was like, guys, I'm doing the one hop edition. I'm claiming that.
The dream.
And meet some other great people in the other women in the industry.
We had such a good group that day. It was like almost 20 people. I think it was like 17 or 18 people.
And was that just people within like the North Carolina area?
Yeah, mostly within the Triangle area. And it was just amazing. We had 7 different breweries, including one that's in planning that were represented there, and some distributors and some like the North Carolina Brewers Guild sent some representatives, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of other people that were are involved with the beer industry in one way or another. It was really great.
Oh, that's really cool. It's always fun to see people in all different aspects of the industry come together. Our good friend Carly, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, she runs one of the local beer dens at the Lowe's Foods near us, and recently they got together all of the beer den masters, and they went to Highwire, and they did a Lowe's Food, like, limited edition beer over there, and she's always been in the sales side of things. She's studying for her Cicerone.
She's going for level 2, yes.
But she's never been a part of a brew day before. And so to be able to explain things to her customers and talk about, like, the process and what, you know, the timing of all these different things, she says it was just invaluable to her. She loved it. She had so much fun.
Well, that's like a lot with you being a part of this podcast and now you wanting to brew. Now you're learning so much more by coming to an actual brew day and being more involved.
Yeah, that's, well, besides it being kick-ass and awesome. That's why I wanted to do it. Like, when I talk to professional brewers, I want to be able to keep up with, like, the more technical conversation, because Jeff's always asking about specific yeast strains and different types of equipment and stuff, and a lot of that, especially in the beginning, went right over my head, and I'm like, what the hell is all of this? Like, it's not a simple process, guys. And if you think it is, you're sorely mistaken.
It is.
You should go take...
But well, it isn't.
But
it is, but it isn't. It is, but it isn't.
Foundationally, it's super easy. It's just sugar.
Yes.
Just yeast eating sugar, and that's about it.
Yeah, don't simplify your craft, guys. You guys, go and take a tour. Go to your local brewery, take a tour, see for yourself, and then get back to me if you think it's simple or complicated or somewhere in between.
It's cool because you can come at it from whatever you do in your own life, too. We had a group come from the company of doing Lion King at DPAC a few weeks back. And, like, all they were stage managers and lighting directors and dancers. And their questions, it was so, like, I could be like, I can bet, I know what you do. Because they'd be like, so how do you, like, do all the, decide what you're going to, if it takes, like, a month for this to come out of the tank, then how do you know, like, when to brew it and coordinating? Mm-hmm. I was like, you stage manage, don't you? Because you're waiting to get everything all together, you know? And where some people were more about some of the more... the engineering, or mm-hmm. like you're talking about the tanks, or the yeast, and
it's all relatable to someone somehow.
But yeah, exactly.
That's funny that you say that about people who plan, because like since moving in, I plan all of Jeff's brew days because I have 3 planners. I'm in that weird planner obsession world, and like. I have my crafted one here. I'll show you later. It is
let it be known that I don't actually plan my brew days.
Well, and so we're
she picks a set. She's like, hey, on the 30th of this month, you're going to be brewing. Okay, cool.
Well, okay, so we're also brewing the beer for our best friend's wedding in October. So we're doing 3 kegs, and we're wanting to do test batches and this and that. And so on Saturday, we did the double batch IPA, and we want to do, which I'm really excited about, we're going to do a vanilla bourbon brown ale.
Very interesting.
But so I'm like, okay, well, if, and we're going to be doing that Sunday. I was like, well, if you cold crash, this IPA here and you can keg it, then the carboy will be free, and then in 2 more weeks we can do another one. And he's like, oh, this is a lot to plan out. And I was like, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here
for. Yeah, you need that. Because, I mean, we can talk about, oh, I want to do this and this and this all day long. But, like, there's so many logistical things that go into, like, the production side of it. And just, you know, making sure that you've got that many kegs available. And, you know, your fermentation vessels are available. And if you're going to barrel age something, then, my Lord, there's more planning that has to go
but
in.
Sometimes it's really hard because beer wants to be made on its own schedule sometimes. And yeah. I'm sure you've seen that. Beer, you know, sometimes the yeast is a little slow or it's not attenuating all the way. Or
yeah, that happens.
So you have to kind of have to plan for that as well.
Yeah, beer teaches you a big lesson in patience. Like, and I've, when Anita and I first talked, I talked about us being kind of like social workers for yeast, and I like truly believe this, that we're just like, here's the best possible environment I can give you, please do the right thing that I want you to do, you know?
It's a very motherly thing.
It reminds me of being a young mother, because like when my son was a toddler, like I would wake up early. I would have all the time in the world that I needed to get out the door and to get him dressed and ready to go. And then if he didn't want to put his shoes on that day, it was not happening. You know,
cancel the entire day.
Right? Hey, Tyler, I love you. So glad you're grown up.
How old is your son now?
He is 18.
Oh wow.
So he'll be probably listening to this.
He quite possibly will be, but mostly he'll be just shaking his head in shame.
He'll be like, oh, no. That's funny. Does anybody have any disaster stories? They're my favorite kind. Is everyone... rolls their eyes to the ceiling in thought.
Because there are many. Yeah, because I'm trying to think of one. I mean, I remember early on in homebrewing, like, being all over the place in terms of, like, it was way overcarbonated, and there were bottles exploding, and my roommate's like, someone's attacking, you know, our apartment, what's going on? To then having, like, really flat beers and, like, trying to find that.
How long did you homebrew before you became... professional brewer?
I worked at a company called Brooklyn Brew Shop, because I was in New York at the time, and they make gallon size kits for the New York size apartments.
Yeah, I've seen those.
So yeah, so you can do a stovetop. And so I worked with them for a year, and I had just started homebrewing and was deciding that this was what I wanted to get into, or at least explore at that point. And so, before I came here, I'd been homebrewing a couple of years, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. So, how long have you been in North Carolina?
Let's see, about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
nicer,
now,
right? Nicer than
up north.
Yeah.
We're both from up north.
I'm from New Hampshire originally, and then went to school in Minnesota, and then lived in New York. So this is the farthest south that I've lived, and it's fabulous. Like, right now, this would just be, like, end of winter, maybe mud season if you're lucky in New Hampshire. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the most gorgeous day for my birthday to be on. I love April.
Yeah. I talked to my... best friend from college almost daily, and we're always comparing, and I'm like, yeah, I went to work in a t-shirt today. She's like, I hate you.
It's snowing up here.
It's snowing here. I can't get my dog to pee outside.
So can we take a minute to say happy birthday, Amanda?
Yeah, yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you all for bringing beers as well.
Definitely.
We'll have to crack those open later.
Yeah, so I hear you have fun beer plans for when we hit stop. Do you want to?
Yes. I learned of this back in college. Another classmate of mine in a course had done these miracle berries, which when you take them, make especially sour things. Like, people have tales of eating lemons and having them be really sweet. But kind of trick your taste buds with certain compounds. So I have some of those, and some coworkers have brought in a range of things, from lemons to Mary Beth, the general manager here, has made a cupcake that she wants to taste like a normal cupcake, but it's sugarless and the frosting is goat cheese.
What?
So
Hmm.
if it would taste weird normally, but hopefully under the influence of the Miracle Berry, then it will taste like a cupcake normally, but we'll have to see. So it's fun working with creative people. And
yeah. Can you get a ticket for being under the influence of Miracle Berry?
They are legal. They are legal. They were discovered in West Africa at some point because they would eat them, just chew on the berries before meals.
It's very interesting.
I don't know exactly what they were eating that was super sour that would make it more palatable. But yeah. So I've never done it before. I don't know if any of you have.
No.
I've never even heard of it.
So it should be, it should be fun, especially with different beers and their level of tartness and how they will taste. I have a coworker who's like not about the sour beers. I'm like, this might be the ticket. This is how we'll get you on it. You'll just be like, oh, it's like soda. It's really sweet. Like, there you go.
Oh, man. Yeah, that does sound so interesting.
Yeah, our beer isn't super tart. It's dry.
It's very dry.
And it'll be cool to see what it does on
anything.
Because that's like one of the coolest things about beer is that there's such a range of stuff going on that, you know, to see how it affects it. I kind of wish I could like turn on and off this effect to like have a sip without it and then have a sip.
You need to write down and remember, like journal all the things you've tried and then try them like tomorrow.
Take notes, exactly. Yeah, and be like, what? This is the same beer? That's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Do you have any homebrew recipes, or do you still homebrew, or do you just...
Not as much as I did before.
I was going to ask, because I know with a lot of our brewers at Natty's, a lot of them just don't brew anymore.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you still do.
I'm really lucky because a friend of mine makes soap here in North Carolina. She's focused on a refill model so that there's less waste in... Like every time you buy a bottle, instead you can just go and refill your soap bottle.
That's awesome.
And so she's a good friend of mine, and she's done a beer bar every season. So I've gotten to play around with recipes, and then I'll dry some of the spent grain, and we'll actually put it into the soap as like a mild exfoliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
So it gives me an outlet to do that, still kind of on a small scale. But we get to, aside from like what we brew here on our larger system, we also sometimes we'll do just a keg worth of something. So I'm working with some local farmers with edible flowers because I want to do, I'm calling it a tripetal. It's a triple, but it will, instead of Belgian candy sugar, we're using honey, and I want to use three different flower petals that will be like a gruet, essentially.
Yeah.
But, so... I still get to kind of experiment around on the small scale.
That's good. Sometimes
like
I'm so mad that I didn't think of that.
Do you guys have like a small little system, like a little like Sapco or something?
We've fashioned together. We had some kegs that weren't working, so we have a couple of kegels and a few coolers and a little fermenter that holds about 20 gallons, so then it will end up, depending on, you know, if it's dry hopped or whatever, but being about a keg's worth.
That's awesome.
And between the two, we might end up with a little bit extra that we can maybe do a side by side and put a different yeast in or something, or toss something else and be like, well, that was just kind of extra award anyway, you know. So so I still get to experiment, you know, on those couple of levels,
Those small batches, like, are often my favorite. Those are kind of the first thing that I ask about when I go to a new brewery. Like, I kind of look. I'm like, what is the weirdest thing on this menu right now? Because I want to try that.
So along those lines, we've got the Experimentarium at Mystery that we are just launching this week. And those are those 5-gallon batches. So I'm excited. I've got a brew coming up with that. That's going to be a grilled pineapple jalapeno wit beer. And we actually used that yeast to prop up the yeast that we needed for the International Women's Day.
Yeah.
So there's so many tie-ins there, but I love it. I'm really excited to see that beer come up.
That's
my first, like, recipe batch of my career since I'm still new.
Oh.
I was just saying, speak a little louder.
Yeah. You're
gonna
say it again.
No, you're fine.
But that's awesome. So how long have you been? Did we ask how long you've been at Mystery?
I just started January.
Okay.
So I'm still
very recent.
Yeah, I would say that my feet are still wet, but I wear waterproof boots. So
as you should.
Yeah, so I was at AB Tech for the last 2 years, or a year and a half, and Mystery picked me up out of that program, so I'm finishing up at RCC.
Okay.
So yeah, still kind of wet behind the ears. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there were any obstacles that you personally had to overcome starting at a brewery?
No, I really don't.
Well,
you know, it's interesting.
Wonderful.
Well, and so I'm at Mystery, right? And mm-hmm. So we're kind of known for having a lot of women on our team, and we do have a lot of women on our team, and even in leadership roles, which is great. But Eric, my boss, has always been adamant that, you know, it's not about seeking out the best woman, it's about seeking out the best candidate. And
definitely.
If that happens
oh, yeah.
to be a woman, then so be it. There's a lot of men on our team, too. We're about 50-50.
Okay.
So, no, that certainly has not been an issue for me. And it's funny because I actually ask that question of all the women that I interview for
mm-hmm.
my articles because I love the responses. Amanda included. Like, everybody has said the same thing. Like, no. And I think that and maybe I'm wrong, but the guys in this industry are, like, the best guys. You know, like, they're so great. Like, I have had the best classmates, coworkers, my boss is amazing. You know, all of these guys that, you know, I really went in to this program and then into my career with going, okay, when's that other shoe going to drop? And it never did. You know, I mean, like, they've just really been really hospitable and, you know, approachable and nurturing, which is weird for a guy. But they do it, and they do it really well. And, like, when I was, you know, thinking about this as a career option and doing my general ed toward this degree, people are like, well, you know, you have to have a beard for that, right? Like, you have to be a guy. And I was like, is that really true? And so I started talking to people in this industry, and they're like, no, it really is like an outside perspective. Like,
I was going to say, it's so funny because people not in the industry think it's like a dude's game, and then people in the industry are like, fuck, what? No.
Right?
We were just, you know, we just did a crossover episode with another local beer podcast. Great guys.
The
Brew
Buds.
So much fun. But at one point, you know, recording, one, it's a funny question because they asked me what I like to drink. And when I said I like sours or IPAs, they go, oh, thank God, that's what you said. And I was like, oh, okay. And he says, and we love, because it's so hard to find girls who love craft beer. And I also thought, oh, okay.
I think they mean, like, out of the realm of, like, girls who like Blue Moon or girls who like...
I would invite them to go to a brew pub and take a look around.
Well, and I also think because they are a generation ahead of us. I think it is more our generation we're coming into, you know, craft beer itself is different, and therefore, I put my hat where I want it to. Sorry, my hat, I love this hat, it's stretched out so much it just falls off my head, but I refuse to throw it away.
I totally have a hat like that.
Yeah,
like,
I love this
hat.
Everyone's seen pictures of me on my Instagram, you probably all follow me. You know what hat I'm talking about, guys. But anyway, you know, craft beer has changed so much, it's changed, you know, the demographic, and it is not just, you know, Bud Light and dudes doing keg stands anymore. So
right.
It is, I think for... that generation, that's what people remember when they think of beer, even though they love craft beer and they're very knowledgeable and they're fun, great guys. But I think for us, that's not the case at all.
Because I think, like, a lot of the people that they know, like, I'm sure his wife doesn't drink beer.
Well, he had said that his wife doesn't.
In the terms of, like, what he drinks.
Yeah. If it's not Bud Light, she doesn't.
And, like, when they were hanging out with us, like... because they're a little bit older than us, and then hanging out with a younger crowd, that was a whole nother aspect for them.
Yeah.
Because they're probably not, you know, typically hang out with people of our age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that's one of my favorite things is to be, like, my growing up, like, my dad was a beer drinker. My mom was not, but now that I'm in the industry and she's like, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, I want to try these things, you know. I can be like, actually, Mom, like, there are beers you probably like. There, you didn't like, the beer that people were drinking in college, you know, that was, you know, but, and she would try, you know, like, we have Beasley's Honey White that she was like, oh, this is actually...
That's actually really good.
That's what you're both right drinking.
Yeah.
She was like,
it.
Oh, my God, this is beer? I was like, exactly, like, beer encompasses so much, like, yeah. And you
it's
can
so
do so much
flavorful nowadays.
With it.
That's exactly was, like, my reaction last year, last winter when I moved down, and... Like I said, craft beer desert. If you're not drinking warm Keystone Light, what are you drinking? Like, so no, I wasn't going to be drinking beer.
Well, the first time you were drinking good beer is I took you to, you know,
the
Beer City, Beer City USA.
So he put an Oblivion from Wicked Weed in front of me, and I'm super Italian, so I'm was/am a big wine drinker. So you put a Flanders in front of me, yeah, I'm going to like it. And I'm like, that's beer. I can get down with that.
Yeah. So the way that I found my way into writing was actually I started working as a beer buyer in a wine shop. And I had this very same experience where my bosses were very wine-centric. And they were like, we don't know if we want beer here, you know. Let's just do wine. Let's just focus on wine. And then the more they started, you know, like kind of, peeking their toe in the water, they were like, oh, well, this is different, you know, and now Gina, one of my bosses from there, she's like, I love beer all the time, you know, sometimes I drink beer instead of wine, on purpose, you know.
I love that, I drink beer on purpose now.
But you know, they're of that same generation where they're like, oh, beer is just this god-awful thing, and mm-hmm. it's been this thing that's been shoved down our throats, and there's so much more variety in there now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was great to see, you know, minds open in front of me like that.
Yeah, today we actually had a group that our head brewer, Brian Mandeville, talked to, which is STEM, which is science, technology, engineering and mathematics, and they're actually, it was a group of high school teachers, so I was like, I guess they can't, like, really be pushing the beer thing, but, like, maybe have, you know, yeast in that kind of thing in their curriculum, but it was really cool to see the kind of science-oriented and, yeah, just coming at it from different directions.
From that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a charter school in the same, like, we're in an old mill that's been converted into a lot of different spaces, and there's a charter school in there, and so one of the third graders decided they were going to do their project on our brewery, and we're like, how's that going to work? But they did.
How
it.
How did it work?
I don't know. I mean, like, I just knew it was happening. I want to see this project.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, it makes sense. Like, you're saying there's a lot of science behind it, and it is... Or also, like, if you're into cooking or just creating things in general, I can definitely see how, like, a young mind would be fascinated by it.
And in its origins, it was, like, a way to consume a beverage that wouldn't give you dysentery or, you know,
it was safer than drinking the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I actually spent a year in the Czech Republic, and that was where I first started drinking beer, and it was very much more a daily part of life, and people would, like, drink a lot of beer, but, like, mostly it was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to lunch, okay, yep, getting a beer, because, like, safer than drinking water there, it was cheaper than drinking water.
And I'm sure it was, like, super sessionable, like 3% beers or something.
Yeah,
sort. Yeah,
exactly. And it wasn't a big deal. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, like, we're drinking beer with our lunch. Like, and I'm like, oh, this is weird.
This is not how we do it in the States.
this is not it. But that
Are we
just
still
made
on
it,
the clock?
Made it much more, like, accessible and you know.
And
it,
you know,
really
that's
nice.
Such a great approach to beer. Or, like, alcohol in general, you make it drinkable and easy and part of everyday life. Like when I was in high school, my parents started pouring me like half a glass of wine with dinner. And they're like, yeah, you learn how to drink responsibly, and you should learn to enjoy this because someone spent a lot of time making it. And, you know, you find out what you like, and you don't go crazy, and you just enjoy it with your meal. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, versus making it forbidden and then...
Yeah, and crazy, and then you sneak out and... You wake up in the woods and
because you listen to your friends about what your limit is.
Yes,
you know?
Dumb friends, they don't know me. But yeah, and we talk about that, and we try to post like articles and commercials about drinking responsibly and making sure that's always the priority. We throw a lot of beer parties. We need a Drina keg. Everyone come over and drink. But at the end of the night, if you can't drive, you're sleeping here. It's a very important aspect to all of this, guys. Remember that. Always trying to... I try to talk directly to them sometimes.
As you're pointing to the iPad.
I point to the iPad because I think I'm pointing to you guys. So I hope, you know, you see my face and you're really taking me seriously.
And you feel pointed at.
Yeah, as that's what I'm doing. In a motherly, caring way.
But also by consuming like craft beer that you can really appreciate and not supporting, you know, like the big guys just to get drunk, that's cooler. That's cooler than being drunk.
It is way cooler. Support local, drink local.
You know what's not cool?
What's not cool? Yet?
Getting drunk in public.
Like
bad beer.
That's not cool.
It's not cool. No, if you're gonna get drunk on really nice craft beer that you can savor and savor the flavor.
Like a nice 10% imperial stout. You just ride that one out all night. This is it. This is my one drink. No, I usually go for more sessionable. I usually if I'm going somewhere new, I go for a flight. Because I want to try as much stuff as I can. But if I'm going to, you know, buy a full pint of something, I plan, if I'm feeling nice and good that night, on having another. Because I want to enjoy and support and, like you were saying, like, savor the beer that I have. And not just chunk it.
You may be drinking our procession, which
I
am.
I know. That's exactly what I'm drinking.
With session in the name.
And he has beer.
Made with persimmons. We work with people who forage persimmons, so like one person may have a persimmon tree on their property and they get a few pounds and they can bring it in and we'll pay them market value for the persimmons, which typically go in first frost, our winter warmer.
Which is delicious as well.
Yes, but very, a lot higher ABV than the procession, so we've done a sessionable beer with that. But people are always like, oh, so you must not get like that many persimmons. We literally get tons every year, like thousands of pounds from people just bringing it in from the trees that they have on their property. So
that's so cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, like one guy came in with his like two daughters, you know, like teaching, okay, so we got these and now they're gonna weigh them and then they'll pay us this much and they like help me do the math and it was cool
adorable.
To see.
Yeah. And the result is delicious.
Yeah.
It is a great beer. What's your actual favorite beer that you guys make here?
I have a really soft spot for Carver. I really love Carver. That's our lager made with sweet potatoes, which the grain bill is pretty simple. There are two malts and then some sweet potato in the mash, and we add a little bit of the sweet potato is in a pureed form.
Oh, I had that at the beer den.
You did?
And that was very good. It's smooth.
Yeah, it's so it's a lager, so it's crisp and clean, and it really just highlights the sweet potato versus a lot of that kind of beer that try to make it be like, well, you usually have spices in with this, you know, so I always, like whenever I do a tour here, I start it off because I feel like that really shows what Full Steam does, which is take southern ingredients and highlight them without getting too frilly or anything. But we are constantly coming up with new things. One of the first beers that I had here before I even worked here was the Summer Basil, going to be called Southern Basil upcoming.
I was just talking about that beer prior to us starting, yeah.
And that's part of, I was talking earlier about doing beer with, like, flowers and things. Like, I'm really into trying to use kind of herbal, different herbs and seeing how they work. Because you obviously get a lot of herbal qualities from hops and, like Sriracha Ace. Whenever I drink anything with Sriracha Ace, I'm like, it's dill.
I'm not a big pickle fan, so yeah, I'm exactly. Not a fan I'm of the same hop. Way.
So like everyone knows, like okay, she's really sensitive to that, guys. Like that's all she's gonna get out of that. But yeah, so but I'm interested in using different herbs. So that one to me was like a really nice, way of using the basil and having a really nice summery beer. So I drink that as soon as we start making it. And it's cool to see, too, because we work with a lot of local ingredients. You know, within the beer industry, there's a whole... We want to keep things as consistent as we can within the process and everything. But basil in, like, late May is very different from basil in late July. Mm-hmm. So you kind of see how that crop changes throughout the summer. Based on the beer, which I think is really cool.
We're actually going to be doing a basil lime saison this summer, which I'm very excited about. But do you have any tips for using basil?
Well, we put it in toward the end of boil on a large scale. Doing it like in the fermenter or anything would be a little bit difficult for sanitation reasons, since a lot of, you know, like yeast live on... plants and things like that. So you could try it in the fermenter, but we do end of boil. Obviously, you're going for a lot of those aromatics and not so much the bittering the quality last couple that you minutes, can yeah. get. Yeah, so we do two rounds of it, but you're doing how big of a batch?
It would probably just be a 5 gallon.
Yeah, obviously for, I guess I've never used it on the smaller scale.
It'll be
just we'll use 4 pounds in 14 barrels, but obviously scalability.
Yeah.
We can do the math on that.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. But that's good to know.
But then you get a lot, like end of boil, like anything, you get a lot more of those like aromatics and less of that.
It doesn't volatilize as much as quickly.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I've been waiting for us to do this beer.
She's been nagging me.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well, we went to a homebrew rally at Noda, and they had a homebrew competition, and someone had...
Raleigh Brewing Company.
We went to two rallies that weekend, so it's very easy to confuse them.
I understand.
but they had, like, a homebrew competition, which was really cool. We tried, maybe a dozen different homebrews that day, and... The lime basil saison was like my favorite. So then we went home and we picked up your basil beer and another basil beer and any basil beer we could get our hands on because I was obsessed with basil beers.
And saisons.
Well, that's always been a thing. I love saisons.
So that's what I absolutely gravitate toward. We have our own proprietary saison strain that we use for our saisons, and since we're an all-seasonal brewery, that's four different saisons a year. But I also really love pepper beers, and one time we made Phileas, which is a saison with sage and chilies, and that was amazing. And this is my plea for my boss to make more. We should make more.
Are you listening, Eric?
More Phileas.
That sounds awesome. And different.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything like that.
It was just such a great beer.
I love saisons.
I will take a saison any time of the year. Yeah. That's actually what... No, you drank a saison. I drank the farmhouse, which was really good as well.
I was going to say, earlier you mentioned the collaboration or the Women's International Brewing Day. It was a very long name. but can you tell us a little bit more about what you guys ended up brewing?
Yeah, so it's a lemongrass jasmine blueberry wit. So it's got a wit beer base, just really light and delicate, and we kept that motif going through the entire thing. So really light on the lemongrass. The blueberries are there, and they play really well with the jasmine. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to get that beer out. It's because I've been tasting it as it's been fermenting, and I'm in love. So I'm really excited to share it with everyone, and that's coming up April 15th.
Okay. Did it actually change the color?
Just a little bit. I mean, again, I kept it really restrained.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, just because I know what it looked like before I put it in there, like I can see it. And it's just like a faint kind of purpley pink.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
And what kind of yeast strain did you
It was just a Belgian wit. Yeah, just a really clean one. We do get a little bit of that black pepper sort of note from the Belgian wit, and I just pulled it off, pulled the yeast off of it the other day because I didn't want it to go too far in that general direction. I just want to keep it really kind of light and simple.
You kept it super sessionable?
Absolutely. It's like 4.5%. Perfect. So not like a 3% beer, but really nice and light. It's going to be great for this time of year.
Yeah, I was about to say that now that it's getting warm out.
Yeah.
I feel like you can just like sit outside and grill a burger and drink that beer.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Nice. And you said that's coming this Friday.
Not this Friday. It'll be the following Friday, April 15th, and it'll be at the Mystery.
Do your taxes.
Yeah, do your taxes and come have a beer. Just let it out. 7 p.m. at Mystery Brewing Company at the pub, because we have a brewing facility and a pub. Cool. It's at the pub.
Well, we'll definitely be sharing that event on our Facebook and Twitter page when that gets closer. So if you guys are listening to this now and don't write it down, just make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Because you don't want to miss cool events like that we post all the time. And this is going to be a really cool one.
And you can get barbecue beforehand.
Right, yeah.
Right next door.
Oh, my God, yeah. We're right next door to Hillsboro Barbecue. And the cool thing is you can go in Hillsboro and you can say, I want to place a to-go order. I'm going to be at Mystery Brewing Company. And they will deliver your order next door to us.
That's beautiful.
There's nothing better than that.
It's a lovely thing. It's a very symbiotic relationship. And it's barbecue, so... Winning.
Just all around. Food and beer, my two favorite things. Nothing better. You guys, there's a barbecue place.
The Pit.
The pit is right next door. And then, we have food trucks that come out. Before I came into this, I gave someone my credit card and was like, order me a pizza, please, as soon as they get here, so that it'll be ready when I get out. So,
yes, perfect.
Yeah, it was high pressure, so.
Oh, that's cool. So it's It's a pizza
food truck? Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those. We don't have any of those in Greensboro.
No, we're missing out.
Yeah.
But we have burrito ones.
Oh, yeah. We have a burrito. Bandito?
Bandito burrito.
Best burrito I've ever had.
Yeah?
It's massive.
Good. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard of Brown Truck, the newest, one of the newer.
Mm-hmm. It's in High Point.
Yeah. It's this. They're little. They just... And how long ago did they open up? Maybe about a month?
A month and a half ago.
Very... but another great saison if you're out in that area. Okay. And they're a beautiful little local brewery. And they get the best food trucks that come out. Which is good for that area because there's literally... They need a little boost.
The brewer is from Foothills.
Oh,
Ian.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, okay. It's cool to see... all these little breweries popping up and helping, and popping up where places need it, because High Point definitely needs the foot traffic of people coming through.
Yeah, it's remarkable what happens to a community when a brewery comes in. I mean, like, all of a sudden people come out of their homes and spend money, you know? And so, like, I think of Jordan Boyness that started Newgrass down in Shelby, and which is... Have you guys heard of Shelby, North Carolina? No.
Barely.
Nobody has. but it's right next to this small little town that I grew up in. And I met Jordan a little over a year ago. And I was, like, she went to Boone and was working with some breweries there. And she's got a tourism background. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go fix Shelby. And I'm not saying that she single-handedly is doing this. But she's doing some really remarkable things from a brewery perspective. And just saying, you know, yeah, I want to start a brewery. I want to have my own business. But I want to, like, bring the entire community into this and how can I do beer's the right thing for that. My community? Like, it's so is.
Yeah. I mean, in so many ways of building a community, and you can't really have beer without community in some ways.
I definitely,
it's very symbiotic.
I definitely feel like the whole craft beer scene is like a big community within itself, and it's such a small world. You meet so many people who know other people that you already know, and it's really cool. But then it just brings in all these other elements, whether it's food or live music, and all of a sudden you're entertaining people on a Friday night, and it's just a good time all around.
Yeah, so you guys have a stage here.
Yeah, we have people that come and play, like, mostly on the weekends, but we have kind of events all week long. Tuesday nights, there's, like, belly dancers, and...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's just all sorts of stuff going on, and it's really is something that brings people together, which is part of what I love about it.
It's different from going to your, just your local bar. Like, you have different events going on. You have...
Yeah.
Pig roast, or you have belly dancers, or you know, whatnot. Like,
or,
who knows?
And even when we just walked in, you know, there are people playing a board game. Like, you couldn't go to your local bar and play a board game.
Nope.
Someone would smack that shit right off the table. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
We're doing body shots on this table. That's not going to happen here.
Exactly. People, and you've got a lot of creative people kind of behind the scenes who are into craft beer and the creativity of it, which is part of what draws me to it, we want to put lemongrass, jasmine, blueberry, we're going to do it. We want to board games, we're going to do it. We're going to make stuff happen, and we're going to do creative stuff. Like, you've got a lot of that energy behind everybody.
It really is remarkable in that way, like the culmination of people that this industry draws, both like from a consumer side and from a professional side. And like I mean, we currently have an IT professional, a scientist, a librarian, and a photographer working in our brewery. You know, I mean, it's like this weird thing. Like, we had this PhD kid come in. He's not a kid. But, I mean, like, he was like, what do all these people have in common? They all work at Mystery. You know, but it's that way in, like, all the breweries that I've come across. Like, we all, like, came to this from some channel.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable, like, the variety.
We're just actually talking about that on our drive over because, like, working in a brewery is not, I don't know, it's not necessarily what everyone thought they would be doing when you're in high school and they're saying, like, where do you see yourselves in 15 years? Or when you go to college, obviously you can enjoy, you probably do, but you can enjoy, you know, a good beer. And something along the road kind of changed your path and led people here. And it is, a lot of the people that we've met and a lot of people at Natty's have made really big career changes to be able to work in a brewery. And from what I hear, they're much happier for it. But it is really interesting how all these different people come together and what the allure is to say, I went to school for this one thing, but I'm not going to do that at all anymore. And I'm going to make beer now. I'm going to do that because it makes me happy. And
yeah.
That's a cool thing.
From what you were talking about earlier of like kind of that generation removed, like someone of the previous generation was like, so you work at a brewery? And I was like, yeah. They're like, do you work with a lot of cowboys? And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I don't think so. I have one coworker who's from Texas and really into Texas, but like he was a graphic design major. Like,
not necessarily
you
cowboy.
Know, but yeah, you totally like have a lot of different people, and like again for the community, it makes it richer for that because you're not all like, yeah, we went through the same track and we did that. Like, you're coming from so many different perspectives, like I mentioned with the Lion King thing earlier, of like people who think about different things within a
everybody.
Like, oh my god, I never would have thought of that, but like that's kind of what their training is in, or like there's so much to understand about beer historically, and our head brewer is, you know, history was one of his focuses, so there's always like those aspects to come in, and everybody gets to put their 2 cents in, and it's so valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I would say just even within our small team that we have so many different things that make our hearts go pitter-patter. You know, like, we all have our own focus. Like, there's a draw for each of us in here, And, you know, even though we come from very different directions and we have very different, like, avenues and very different passions, it all works together in this really great way, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking about history, I know Jeff had a very important question.
Oh, I did, for Anita.
Oh,
two important questions. Wait, both on the
do we play
path.
The Jeopardy music?
I don't remember the second.
Okay, well, I'll well, the second.
The first one is, what is your title? What do you actually call your title?
So I'm the cellarman, or the cellar person, or the cellar operator. I think that cellarman is just cleaner, and everybody struggles with this language. Girls can be cellarmen. It's a thing. And we don't have to be complicated about it. But basically what that means is that I oversee the fermentations and make sure that it gets from point A, which is brew day, to point B, which is final packaging, in good condition. And so, like, you know, there's no contamination. It gets moved around. It gets finings. It gets crashed when it needs to get crashed. You know, I'm checking gravities and tasting beers every day just to make sure everybody's where they need to be and they have what they need.
So cellar men.
So you do consider yourself a cellar man?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's always a weird thing for people to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I don't really see why. I mean, it's like really, I don't know. Maybe.
They just don't make it complicated.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a cellar man, that's fine.
Well, and I think that this is the way that, you know, a lot of guys approach a woman in this industry too. Like, they just don't know what to say. And so they just don't say anything, you know. Like, I get a lot of cold shoulders, or what is perceived as cold shoulders, but I really just think that it's confusion, and they just, like, shake their head and walk away. But, like, it's, can we all just, like, get over ourselves
you're
a little
there,
bit?
You like beer.
Right.
And you want to make great beer.
Right. And the cellarman has been the cellarman for, like, so long that I don't see a need to add vowels and syllables and,
easy.
Like... It rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, cellar woman or cellar lady. It kind of just doesn't.
Cellar lady.
I got called.
Cellar lady's a
weird
one. I know.
It sounds like you're into some weird stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, I got called a cellar maid.
Oh,
that's
I've
not
never heard that one.
It's bad.
It's all bad. Well, equally important, Amanda, do you consider yourself a brewer, or more historically accurate, a brewster?
That was the other question.
That was your other question, Jeff. I remember it for you.
I still say I'm lead brewer at Full Steam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brewster's just fun to say. It's just the fun.
It is. Yeah.
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 It actually kind of makes your
I
job
should maybe
more
like readopt that.
Your job. You're the lead brewster.
But yeah, I kind of, yeah, it's in terms of like what Anita was saying of people not knowing what to say, or they go the other direction and they're like, "You go, girl," and you're like, you would not say anything like that to any dude who was working.
That's
here.
So bizarre.
Like, believe you me. But yeah, I say brewer.
Okay.
But I'm not opposed to taking on brewster.
All right. Maybe that'll just be our thing.
We'll put that in a little comment section.
Amanda the brewster. Well, now we had to end on a very serious note. So do you guys have any, like, upcoming cool events you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Well, definitely the International Women's Collaboration Brew Day release.
Yes.
Party. To add more words
on
to that.
At the pub.
At the pub. Tax day, the 15th.
At 7 p.m. There's live music at 8.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Free and you can get food sent over there.
Absolutely.
So
they'll deliver it to you.
That's all you could ever want.
That I don't have all the dates on hand, but I can think 2 days in advance, which is this coming Friday, we're releasing Catalyst, which is our hoppy lager, which is 106 IBUs, and it's pretty tasty, so come by for that.
Cool, and we'll definitely post about that as well, because people forget things very easily, unfortunately. Is there anything, Jeff, you wanted to mention?
No, just follow us. Subscribe. Subscribe is the biggest thing. I know Chris pushes this, and he's
and
not
rate.
Here with me today, but and rate on iTunes.
It really helps us out. If you love us, you will do this.
Follow us on Instagram. We're always posting cool shit.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on
Twitter.
We post all those cool events and very insightful articles from Anita that you really don't want to miss.
And anything you guys want to hear or see, I will post it. Just let me know.
Yeah, and send us photos and we'll feature you on Instagram or hashtag CFY Podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.